from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers, the brand new podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and thegamenashville.com. How's it going? I'm Chase McCabe. Every Friday afternoon, we will drop this podcast talking a little racing, a little NASCAR. And I know that's something that a lot of you are interested in this area. Of course, it's a big interest of mine. I've been growing up watching racing and going to races. So I figured, hey, let's talk about it. Let's spend an hour talking about it every week. And a part of our new Pod Center network that we are building on thegamenashville.com. Some great stuff. You know, Preds Insiders that Ryan Porth does every week. Well, it'll be a weekly podcast even through the off season. Tackling Music City with Buck Rising, Talking Titans. You can hear that as well. And we have much more coming here on thegamenashville.com and ESPN 102.5 The Game in the coming weeks. But right now we talk Kevin Harvick. He has been dominant through 12 races this year. He has 5 wins. This guy, which is a record, by the way, that is a NASCAR record to have 5 wins through 12 races. It's been absolutely amazing to watch the work of Kevin Harvick and Stuart Haas Racing. They won again last weekend at Kansas. And really, you know, the races that he has won, he's dominated. When you look at the stat line with Kevin Harvick, the 5 wins, he has 9 top fives, 10 top tens, 820 laps led, which is almost double more than anyone else, and 6 stage wins, again, through 12 races, which the 5 wins in 12, that is a NASCAR record. But Kevin Harvick has just been owning the sport. And I started, you know, I was watching the race last weekend, last Saturday night, and I started asking myself, you know, we haven't had this in a while. Now, we've had the dominance of championships with Jimmy Johnson winning 7, tying Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty. Of course, he went on his run of winning multiple championships in a row. But having a guy winning this many races in such a short amount of time, I mean, it's a record. We haven't had that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, is this a good thing for the sport? Is it good to have one guy dominate like Kevin Harvick is doing right now? I go back to that run that Jimmy Johnson had with all the championships, and I remember at some point getting exhausted, like, okay, is anyone else going to win? And finally, you know, Tony Stewart was basically the bookend for Jimmy Johnson's 5 in a row. Remember, Tony won with Gibbs back in 05, and then Jimmy started his dominance 06, 07, 08, 09, 10, and then Tony Stewart won again in 11. You had Brad Keselowski, Jimmy Johnson for number 6, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and then Jimmy Johnson in 2016, Martin Truex Jr. last year. So there's been that dominance with Jimmy Johnson and what they did over at Hendrick and the championships. But is it good when you're looking at a season that has a sport that's going through so many changes? Dale Jr. retired. I call this the post-Dale Jr. era. You have Jimmy Johnson, who is not his dominant self anymore. Jeff Gordon's in the broadcast booth. Kevin Harvick's on up there, but he's kind of having a resurgence. Tony Stewart's retired. There's been this influx of young drivers, and it seems like there are a lot of people that are still trying to figure out who they want to cheer for, especially those Dale Jr. fans. Is it good to have a guy just have this type of dominance? I think it is. With ratings the way they are right now, and they've continued to dip for NASCAR, fans need to see that hot thing to go and cheer for, whether they're watching on TV or they're going to the race. And if it's me, now that he's already broken the record and I'm a fan wanting to go to a race, I'm going to buy a ticket to go see Kevin Harvick because I want to see him continue to make history. You know, a lot of people kind of jumped on the Harvick bandwagon because he took over for Dale Earnhardt back in 2001. So he had a little bit of that fan base, you know, jump on with him. He's a guy that, you know, he has a temper. He's kind of like Tony Stewart, that he's, you never know if he's going to get mad and what he's going to do if he gets wrecked or somebody cuts him off. He's never afraid to say anything. I know he kind of ticked off some Dale Jr. fans few years ago taking shots at him, but I think they've since kind of made that up. But Kevin Harvick is a lightning rod. Kevin Harvick, to me, gets people watching the sport. But is it enough? And I think with the dominance and winning all these races, it is. Now, you know, you want to see other guys get in there too. Some of the household names. I think people are waiting to see what's going to happen with Hendrick Motorsports. You know, they've struggled. Chase Elliott still looking for his first win now in his third full season in the Cup Series. Jimmy Johnson has been on a drought. You have William Byron, who's a rookie, looking for his first win. And then Alex Bowman looking for his first win, taking over for Dale Earnhardt Jr. So Hendrick Motorsports is trying to figure it out right now. You have Stuart Haas that made the switch to Ford last season. They have two championships, one with Tony Stewart and then the one with Kevin Harvick. But right now, I think Harvick is on track, no pun intended, to win another one, to win his second. And so I kind of ask this question of, is it going to be a disappointment if he doesn't win? Kind of like Martin Truex Jr. was so dominant last year. Everybody knew he was the best car throughout the season. Not necessarily week to week, but he was the most consistent. He won a lot of races. He was the best car. He deserved to be the champion. He goes through the playoffs. He wins the championship. There is a chance with the way that this system is set up, Kevin Harvick can do all that. He can even win a ton of races in the playoffs and then wreck out at Homestead and lose the championship. And I think that would be a disappointment to people because I believe that this type of driver, this type of dominance is good for the sport. And, you know, he kind of talked about the race and what happened at Kansas, that there, you know, they weren't necessarily the best car, but they found a way to win. Here's Kevin Harvick after the win at Kansas last Saturday night.
Get in front of the 42 there. I felt like that was a key moment in the race to get him back behind a couple cars, and felt like he had the fastest car tonight, and we're able to put him back in the pack a little bit, and then it came down to a decision, and it's like I told him, I'd always rather be going forward and trying to win than going backwards and lose. So you know that's. That was a lot of fun, and we're able to miss the wreck, and that's when, you know, everything just kind of went our way in that situation, and then we're able to find somewhere on the racetrack that worked and run Martin down and win the race. So I haven't been that excited to win a race all year, but when you win them like that, those are the moments that you drive the car and watch the car and work on the team. So those are the moments that you live for right there. Those late lap winning passes and coming from behind and winning on a day when you don't feel like you had the fastest car, and that makes it a lot of fun.
And so you hear that in his voice that he's having a lot of fun right now. And again, as I mentioned, he's led 820 laps on the year. Second place to him, and really that's come on lately, is Kyle Busch with 498. And then after that, Ryan Blaney, 418. And then there's a bit of a drop-off. So it's kind of been those guys that have been, and, you know, look, Kyle Busch has won three races early on in the season. I mean, that's the thing. Eight races have been won by two guys, and we've only run 12. So that's dominance not only from Harvick's part, but you have Kyle Busch there too. I think it's good to have one guy that everybody's looking at going, what's he going to do next? But I also don't think it's good to have the championship decided in May. And I'm not saying that it is. We have a long way to go. You know, usually you have guys that kind of step up after the All-Star race that they start to figure it out and they're being competitive. Kyle Busch is going to be one of those guys. He's already won three races. He's not going away. I think if I'm being completely honest with you, just what I've seen is probably going to come down to Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch. Kyle Larson, maybe. He's got to win. Ryan Blaney, maybe. He's got to win. The Hendrick guys, the Chevy, the whole Chevy camp, they're on the struggle bus outside of maybe Kyle Larson. I know Austin Dillon won the Daytona 500, but not taking anything away from Austin Dillon. But look, if I had the right car and was in the right place at the right time, there's a chance I could win the Daytona 500. He put himself into position to win the Daytona 500, but plate racing is completely different from these other tracks that they go to. But the winners this year, outside of Busch and Harvick, Joey Logano, Clint Bowyer, what do they have in common? Fords. They all share same info. Clint Bowyer is a teammate to Kevin Harvick. Kyle Busch, of course, being a Toyota. Martin Truex Jr., he has a win. He's a Toyota. And then Austin Dillon and a Chevy winning the Daytona 500. That's it. This has been the Kevin Harvick show so far in 2018. Harvick commented after winning last Saturday night on the dominance.
Yeah, now it feels like a game. You know, it really does, because of the fact that you want to see how many races you can win. You want to see how many laps you can lead. And you know, we know that we're riding a momentum wave that is hard to come by, and you need to capitalize on it as many times as you can, because it may never come again. I've never had it in my career, and I've been doing this for 18 years. And, you know, these moments are not something that happens very often. And now you need to go, you know, put every detail into a car like you're racing for a championship race at Homestead every week, because it just has that special feel to it. And, you know, it's a good time to be at SHR. They're doing a great job of putting fast race cars on the track. But, you know, I think when you look at a night like tonight, it really shows the experience of the team, because I feel like this is the kind of cars that we had in 2014, but we had a lot of parts failures. We were all new. We made a lot of mistakes and just didn't really know how to deal with it like we do now. And, you know, it's addicting. Now it's a game.
It's a game to see how many races we can win. But he makes a good point there. You look back at 2014 when they won the championship, his first year there. He's coming off a season, his last season with Richard Childress, where he almost won the championship. Basically carries that over, teams up with Rodney Childress as his crew chief. They win the title. But they did have a lot of issues of kind of getting everybody together. And, you know, he mentioned the parts failures and things like that. They ended up winning the race at Homestead, won the championship. And then after that, he's won races, he's been competitive, but hasn't really been that guy that you look at, okay, Kevin Harvick is a shoe-in to win the championship. Right now, you're thinking that. And it's because Stuart Haas has all these resources. They've teamed up with Ford, they're now in their second year with Ford. They kind of worked the kinks out from last year. Bowyer's winning. Kurt Busch has been running well. Eric Almirola comes over. I think he's probably going to win a race before this year is over. Tony Stewart, now that he's just the owner, I mean, they have the money. They have the resources. They have the means to make all this work. And I think you are seeing Kevin Harvick take advantage of that right now, because he's the top dog. But don't be surprised if the other teams, Bowyer probably gets another one. I think Kurt Busch finds Victory Circle at some point. There's a long way to go. If three out of the four cars, or maybe even all four, make the playoffs, that wouldn't shock me, because they have it figured out right now. They have the rules package. You know, Ford was complaining about the nose and that they needed to change things. And look, they're switching to the Mustang in 2019. But right now, they have it figured out, and Kevin Harvick is leading the way. This is Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe. We will launch this every Friday on thegamenashville.com as part of our new Pod Center network. When we come back, we're going to chat with a driver, Matt DiBenedetto, driver of the Go Fast Racing Ford. He will be racing at the Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend. We chat with him next, ESPN 102.5 The Game and thegamenashville.com.
From Morning Drive with Nick Cale, Braden Gall, and Derek Mason.
He needs to be the driving force.
To Darren and Donick with Darren McFarland and Willie Donick.
They've been talking about this all year.
To Jared and the GM with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
You can't have it without the players wanting to be what they are.
No one covers your teams like Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at thegamenashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back on Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, and pleased to be joined by NASCAR driver Matt DiBenedetto. He, of course, will be competing at the Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend. It's All-Star Weekend. Matt, you got to be fired up about that.
Yeah, for sure. It's always a little nervous weekend for us because we want to make it in the All-Star race so bad, you know.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. You're going to be competing in the Open, which is for the drivers that do not have wins. But you can also get in, if you don't win that, you can get in on the fan vote. And I know there has been a big push on social media to get you in the big dance Saturday night at Charlotte.
Yeah, for sure. We've been pretty lucky, man. We have a lot of folks that are pushing and voting every single day for us through the NASCAR.com/fan vote. We have a lot of good supporters, and they push and want us in that All-Star race pretty bad, and they can feel how bad we want to be in just because of how big it would be for our team and for our sponsors and things like that. So I hope it works out.
Well, I've been watching the campaigns and everything. It's been pretty cool. And I guess one thing that's really stood out to me, I met you a few years ago at Daytona, and you're a very, very nice guy, so I always appreciated that. But, you know, I see the support in the garage area from other drivers for you. You run for a team that doesn't have the resources that a Penske or a Roush or a Stuart Haas would have being in the Ford camp. But, you know, you're competing in every race. You're out there. You had a few weeks ago, I guess a month or so ago, different drivers stepping up to help with sponsorship, which was really cool. What does that mean to you as a guy that just loves racing and goes out to compete every week to have that kind of support from your peers?
Man, it's been crazy to kind of gain the respect that I feel like I've gotten in my time in the Cup Series, which has been cool and been a big reason of, you know, why I am here today and gaining a pretty large fan base for the situation I'm in, things like that. So I feel like everyone can just understand how much we make of so little at, you know, being in a small team and that, you know, everywhere that I've been, you know, I've been able to take the teams and get them all their best finishes and performance in their existence by far. So that's something to be really proud of, and I think that's something that everybody sees, whether it be my competitors that I race against and or, you know, the fans or anybody. And I'm just lucky to be surrounded by, you know, good people wherever I go is the main thing.
Matt, where would you say the sport is right now from a sponsorship standpoint? Because we know that, you know, for you guys to kind of work your way up and get these good rides, and, you know, you got to have sponsors. It's all about funding. I mean, it's not cheap to go racing every week. Where would you rate the sport right now as it comes to that?
I think it's going through a little bit of a change, you know, and for a good direction. But, you know, it's been just so expensive, and it's so tough for the smaller teams like us to compete. You know, we run about $5 million a year, and these big teams are on $30 million a year. So it's crazy. You know, we don't have $30 million in sponsorship. That's just tough. But I think, you know, the sport's going to trend in the direction of hopefully kind of benefiting the smaller teams, and they're trying to get the budgets and spending under control a little bit to where, you know, teams like us can be a little bit more competitive. So, I'm excited about the direction that it's all going. I think it'll be good, and also excited about how much, you know, just in the short time I've been with Go Fast Racing, we've been able to grow our small team, you know.
Matt DiBenedetto on the line with us, Go Fast Racing driver, will be competing at Charlotte this weekend for the All-Star race, and then of course the Coke 600 coming up next weekend for Memorial Day. So kind of keeping with the theme of where the sport is right now, it seems like every 10 to 15 years we go through that kind of changing of the guard where you have, you know, drivers that get older and they get out of the cars. You have the younger guys like yourself that are getting in. It seems like we're in that right now with you and Chase Elliott and William Byron and some of these guys that are, you know, just kind of getting into the cars, into the Cup Series. What's that transition been like for the sport to now that, you know, Kevin Harvick is older, Jimmy Johnson's older, Dale Jr.'s retired, Jeff Gordon has retired. Now you guys are kind of moving in.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's so much change going on right now. It's so many different drivers and the next generation kind of coming up. So we're in that transition right now. It's interesting to watch, but I think NASCAR does a good job of showing, you know, and letting all the fans get to know some of these new faces quickly. So then they understand who everybody is and they track their progression. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, it's I think that benefits guys like me that are, you know, young. I'm still young, but I also have a lot of experience, so that I think both those things are going to work into my favor for having a long future in this sport, because I mean I'm going to be winning races in the Cup Series one way or another, somehow. So I plan to be here for a long time, and I think that generational changes is going to work in my favor.
And does it help too? And kind of going back earlier on in the conversation about different drivers kind of helping you out and with sponsorship and stuff like that. But it seems like it's a very tight knit group. Sure, you're going to have rivalries on the track. You're going to have guys that race different ways, but all of you drivers seem to kind of have this fraternity that you're very close knit.
Yeah, I think now more than ever too, all the drivers have a lot better communication than ever, and they're all kind of closer than I've ever seen before. And yeah, I mean, the drivers, they've had a big impact on me being where I am today, having some of the respect and endorsements from some of my peers, Dale Jr. and Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Darrell Waltrip, all these guys that have, many more that have gone out of their way to say a lot of nice things about me that have a bigger impact than they ever know, and heck, even Denny and Kevin and Darrell Waltrip, them kind of jumping on board and helping us earlier this year, had a big impact in the rest of our year with getting Zynga Poker as a primary sponsor. So other drivers themselves actually were the reason that were a big reason for us getting a sponsor. So that's huge too. So it is, like you said, a very tight-knit group.
And you're with Go Fast Racing. That's a team that's been around for a few years, but you're running with them now, and you've run all the 12 races so far this season. Looking at the standings, you're on track to be having a career year. What is it that's working for you guys? You mentioned sponsorship, but what is it that's been working for your team?
We just have really good people. So one, we're lucky to keep on trying to build our sponsorships and getting, guys like Zynga Poker on board. And next weekend at Coke 600, my friend, at Cosmo Motors, they're on the car. So we've just been able to build our sponsorships. They're smaller. We're a smaller team, so we can do it at a more affordable level than these big teams. We can take on, a lot of different sponsors. So that's helped, trying to build some of our sponsorships and grow them. But it's been a huge help to us and our team. We're just trying to, I think this year our performance has been better than ever, just because I feel like we have a really good group of people. Made a crew chief change too. I have Randy Cox as a crew chief this year, and he's worked so well with our team. I feel like I've worked with him for 20 years. That's how well we meshed, and I think he's taken our team another step further to be even better for what we have.
So if somebody wanted to jump on board and sponsor the number 32, how would they do that?
So they, that is always much needed, and they can contact our team. My PR guy is Ryan Ellis, and he kind of handles all that, especially all the craziness when we were sorting through it all earlier this year at Phoenix when all that stuff came about, or we were unsponsored, and then that's when Zynga came on board. But so he handles all those kind of inquiries for the team, but we keep on growing slowly but surely.
At Matt D Racing on Twitter is Matt DiBenedetto's Twitter handle. So Charlotte this weekend for the All-Star Race, and the next weekend for the Coke 600. Have you had a chance, I don't know if it's been this weekend, but have you had a chance to test out the Roval at all that we'll see later on in the season?
I have not, but I definitely want to. I need to get familiar with that course one way or another, because it's going to be so new to all of us. So that's going to be something interesting for sure. We're having a lot of interesting little different things happen this year, whether, different rules package for the All-Star race, running the Roval later this year. It's different, so it should be – that one's going to be interesting and exciting for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that they're changing things up. It's different that you have basically two different layouts for the same track that we're going to see over the course of one season.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely something new. So pretty excited about that, and it being our home track too is really cool.
So Matt, I know you don't have a lot of free time because you're racing all the time. But when you're not at the track, what's something that you enjoy doing in your free time?
Obviously aside from hanging out with my wife and relaxing, we're kind of homebodies. But I just like working out, doing going to CrossFit, and then anything car related. So I like building and working on street cars. I just got a GT350, so we enjoy kind of tinkering with that. So basically, my whole life revolves around working out, eating, and then something car related. That's about as in depth as I get. I'm just a gearhead.
That sounds like a pretty good life.
Exactly.
So, So as we wrap this up, I like asking drivers this. Your favorite driver growing up, somebody you really looked up to?
Jeff Burton was my favorite driver growing up, and I'm actually getting to run my favorite paint scheme that I loved as a kid later this year at Darlington for our throwback paint scheme. It was his number 99 XI Batteries car. I'm getting to run that scheme later this year, which is what I've like wanted to do so bad for quite some time, ever since Darlington started doing the throwback paint schemes. So that was my guy growing up.
Oh, that'll be cool. I remember that race he won at Darlington where he wrecked. The car wasn't, they weren't going to be able to put the car back in, but the rain came, he ended up winning the race.
Yeah, for sure. That's, he had a lot of success when he ran that car, and I loved the way it looked. It was such a cool looking car, the black and purple scheme.
Very, very cool. Well, Matt, hey, I appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend. We'll be putting out there on Twitter the fan vote, then go vote for you to put you in the All-Star race Saturday night, and best of luck the rest of the way as well.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And that, of course, was Matt DiBenedetto, driver of the number 32 Go Fast Racing Ford in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So you listen to that conversation, and a guy that runs for a small team that doesn't have a lot of sponsorship, doesn't have the same resources that a Roush or a Penske, as I mentioned in the interview, but he's run all the races this year. This guy's been around for a few years, and you know, I know a lot of you are familiar with him, and he's kind of worked his way up, and now he's still out there competing. But what does that say about the state of the sport right now and where we are in NASCAR? We'll discuss that next. It's Chasing Checkers here on thegamenashville.com and ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Artificial intelligence, AI, is taking over the world.
How can I help you today?
So put it to work for you.
Your appointment is at 9 a.m.
Ask Alexa to
enable 102.5 The Game.
Okay.
Once enabled,
Alexa, play 102.5 The Game.
The future is here.
Let me help you with that.
Ask Alexa to enable 102.5 The Game.
And we're back on Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and thegamenashville.com. Again, every Friday, we will drop this bad boy in our podcast section on thegamenashville.com. And, of course, it'll air throughout the weekend as well on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking NASCAR, talking racing. Next weekend is one of my favorites because next Sunday, you have the triple header, the Grand Prix of Monaco early Sunday morning, the Indy 500 in the middle of the day for open wheel, and then, of course, the Coca-Cola 600 Sunday night at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. So with Matt DiBenedetto, talking to him in the last segment, I've been thinking about this, the state of the sport. Where are we right now with NASCAR? And a couple of things that I hit on with him, and the reason that I wanted to have him on is because, look, he's a guy that a lot of fans know and, you know, like, because he's such a, you heard in the interview, he's just such an easygoing guy, and the drivers have kind of embraced him and, you know, try and help him out with sponsors and things like that, because it's not cheap. It's not cheap to run a race. You heard him say that his team brings in about $5 million a year, whereas the big teams could bring in 30. You know, there's a huge difference, and that's just one car. And so, you know, they don't have that type of competitive advantage. Well, I remember when NASCAR was at its peak in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, you had these multi-million dollar deals, sponsorship-wise, for these teams. Now, even some of the big teams struggle to sell full sponsorship for their car. It's just the game has changed. Advertising has changed. With social media and different ways that we get our content, you know, it's just, it to some companies, doesn't always make as much sense to put their logo on a race car. It stinks, but that's just kind of the way that the climate has gone. So for a lot of these drivers now, and I've talked to some that are trying to make their way up, if you don't have sponsors connected to you, let's say that I'm a developmental driver and I've run some races out at the Nashville Fairgrounds and I'm pretty good. You know, I've won a few and I'm running top five every week. And all of a sudden, you know, a guy from, let's just say FedEx is there. It's like, this guy's good. Well, you know, FedEx is involved with Denny Hamlin. and they like me, and they're like, hey, you know what? We're gonna jump on board with you and give you some money and be your sponsor. Well, all of a sudden, Jack Roush hears that, you know, I'm in with FedEx, and FedEx is a bad example because they're already in the sport and spent a ton of money on Denny Hamlin, but that's for some reason the first thing that came to mind. Let's say Papa John's. Let's do that. They're not in the sport. Let's say Papa John's. So Papa John's is paying me to run their logo on my race car, and I'm running all these local tracks. Well, that means they see something. They're like, hey, this kid's going to go places. Well, then all of a sudden, Jack Roush hears about it, and he tells another guy that owns a team in ARCA, like, hey, you know, I think we're going to sign him as a development driver. You need to sign him too. He's got Papa John's on board, so you got money. You got some funding. So then I work my way to ARCA, and I'm running with one of the better teams in ARCA, and I'm winning races. Well, then more sponsors come on board, and more sponsors come on board. That's how it works. But as long as you have that sponsorship that's connected to you, it's going to be a lot easier to get a ride. Now, there are a lot of drivers that are good that win races at the lower level. They get noticed, but they don't have any funding. They don't have those sponsors for one reason or another. They just don't. And they're missing out on some of these big time rides, even though they got the talent, because they don't have the money. Because as I have said multiple times on this show, it's not cheap to run in NASCAR. It's not cheap to run IndyCar. Not cheap to race. It takes a lot of money to build these things, especially, you know, if you wreck them or whatever. So the state of the sport right now is we have all these young drivers that these sponsors like, that they're sellable, but they're either not ready or they're just not as good as everybody thought they were. Now, I believe that there are a lot of talented drivers in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series right now that have never won a race. Chase Elliott probably at the top of the list. I know we've been saying it for 3 years, but it's going to happen eventually. And when it does, I think it'll be like Kyle Larson, and they'll come in bunches. Larson's another one that it took him a while to find victory lane. But these guys were able to get in early with these teams and have those resources because they were able to bring in funding. And even the Rick Hendricks of the world know that they need that type. They need the funding to put these teams together. He has a 4-car operation, and his biggest job right now is not only figuring out how to make his teams competitive and to win races, but his biggest sponsor that has been with him for 17 years now, is it? Yeah, I believe 2001. Lowe's, they're leaving at the end of the year. So Jimmy Johnson, the 7-time champion, 84 race winner, doesn't have a sponsor after this year. Now, he'll probably get one unless he decides he's done, which I don't see happening, but he'll probably get one. He's still Jimmy Johnson. He's still the 7-time champion. But Rick Hendrick has to figure out how to get him back into victory lane first. And then you have a situation where you have these drivers that have multiple sponsors because nobody's buying a full season anymore. You know, those days are gone. The days of DuPont and GM Goodrich and Lowe's, Budweiser jumping on as full-time sponsors, that's gone just because the market has changed. But to circle back to where I was with Matt DiBenedetto, it is, you know, you have the drivers that all think he's got the talent and they all rally around him. And there's a lot of those situations in the sport. It's just finding the funding. It's not about whether you can go race anymore. It's about, do you have the money? Do you have the funding? If you do, we'll put you in a race car and you probably can win some races. And that's what kind of bugs me, because I've been around the sport long enough as a fan. I've never driven a race car in my life, but as a fan, and you can watch on TV or go to a race and you can tell who knows what they're doing, and, you know, more so than others. Kyle Busch, love him or hate him, that guy can drive a darn race car. That guy can race. I mean, he knows what he's doing. Kevin Harvick, same thing. There's a reason we were talking about earlier in the show. He's dominant because that's just how good he is. I mean, he's probably going to win a championship. It's going to be him or Bush, Kyle, winning this year because they're that dominant. And the way the cars are set up now, you got to drive them. And I think that that's one thing that NASCAR has done in the last few years that I applaud them for. Make these things where you actually have to drive them. And you're seeing that. And you're seeing the learning curve of these young guys that are being rushed out of the Xfinity Series or the Truck Series into the Cup Series because the sponsors like them because they're young and they can sell them. But they're being exposed because they're not ready yet because they have to drive these cars. You know, a few years ago at the Car of Tomorrow and that stuff they put out there, look, this new car, you got to drive it. And the rules package that they've put together, I think it's made the racing better. And I love the stage racing. I think the stage racing is great. So it's just interesting to see where the sport is right now. That, you know, it's, you've seen the viewership drop. You've seen the attendance at the racetrack drop. And it's not that the racing is bad. I mean, I went to Bristol last year. It's one of the better races I've seen there in a while. But it's just all about, it's all about the sponsorship dollars, and some of these guys that can be competitive aren't getting their chance. And I really hate that. This is Chasing Checkers, new podcast that'll drop every Friday, talking NASCAR, talking racing, here on ESPN 102.5, The Game and TheGameNashville.com, and you can hear it throughout the weekend on the air as well. I'm Chase McCabe. Follow me on Twitter at ChaseOnGame. All of this part of our new podcast network here at The Game Nashville. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers at ESPN 102.5, The Game, there was a penalty that was handed down this week. I want to dive into that a little bit because I kind of agree and I kind of disagree all at the same time. I'll tell you what I mean. That's all next. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Stay up to date on the latest news in sports. Take us wherever you may go with the Game Nashville app.
Tap that app.
Just search ESPN, The Game Nashville, on Google Play or iTunes. And download the Game Nashville app now.
Chasing Checkers rolling right along here this weekend. Again, every Friday afternoon, we will drop this thing on thegamenashville.com. You can also hear it on Saturday and Sunday mornings on ESPN 102.5. The Game is part of our new podcast center that we are putting together. Tackling Music City with Buck Rising, talking Titans. You have that. Preds Insiders with Ryan Porth. That's going to be a part of it, and we're looking to add many, many more. Just to bring you even more specialized programming here on thegamenashville.com and ESPN 102.5 The Game. But this one, we talk all things racing. We talk a little NASCAR. And there's something that I wanted to discuss that happened over the week before we get into the All-Star race this weekend and the Coke 600 coming up next weekend. But the 42 team, Kyle Larson. So he had a good race at Kansas and looked like he could have been in a position to win. And as you heard from Kevin Harvick a little early on in the show, he didn't think that they had the best car. Harvick did not think that they had the best car. He was kind of alluding that he thought Kyle Larson may have had the best car at Kansas. Well, the 42 gets caught up in that big wreck, has some damage. They have to fix that, but they're able to keep it going. And NASCAR, it was a talk on the broadcast because they've had all this discussion about the rear window. And the rear window being caved in and the roof being caved in. And, you know, have they found a performance advantage with some of the things, some of the tweaks that they're doing on the race car because of that? So, you know, Kyle Larson was trying to say, hey, it was damaged. You know, we got caught up because they pulled on pit road. Guess what? The window was caved in. So NASCAR, of course, took the car to the R&D center. They were going to look at it, and on Tuesday, they handed out an L1 penalty. I'll read the release from NASCAR.com. NASCAR handed down an L1 grade penalty Tuesday to the Chip Ganassi Racing number 42 Chevy team of Kyle Larson for an improper rear window support discovered in post-race inspection after last weekend's event at Kansas Speedway. The number 42 team was found in violation of sections 20.4.H, vehicle body, and 20.4.8.1 B and C rear window support and structure in the 2018 NASCAR rulebook, with the rear window not flush to the rear deck lid and the rear window support braces not keeping the rear window glass rigid in all directions. So basically what they're saying is they broke a rule even though there was damage to the car, which I don't really understand, but we'll keep going. So the crew chief, Chad Johnston, was fined $50,000. The car chief, David Bryant, was suspended from the next two points-paying races in the Cup Series. So not this weekend at the All-Star race, but starting next weekend at the Coke 600. This has been happening a lot lately this season. We had different penalties for Bode Roof on Kevin Harvick's car in March at Vegas. A rear window penalty on Chase Elliott's car in Texas, and then the 14 and the 19 teams got penalized last week for similar unapproved bodies. That happened earlier in the month at Dover. So we've had all these different penalties based on violations with the body of the race car. Now, I don't condone cheating by any means. If these crews are messing with the cars and it's going to give them a competitive advantage that the other guys don't have and they're breaking the rules, then okay, I get it. But are the rules too ticky-tack? I guess is what I'm saying. Like, it used to be that you had all these mastermind crew chiefs that could work within the rules and they could maybe just push the envelope a little bit, but they weren't going to cross the line and give themselves a competitive advantage. I don't think that there's a, you know, as long as it's within reason, I think if you find some advantage that is within the rules, it's okay. And I just kind of think that sometimes, and I know that I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth a little bit, but I kind of feel like at sometimes the rules are just way, 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 way too ticky-tack. So this is what Scott Miller, NASCAR Senior Vice President of Competition, said about the penalty. Quote, the industry has kind of seen a rash of this type of thing lately with the rear windows. The teams have obviously found some performance in that area, and they're kind of pushing the envelope. Not to say that anyone wants their stuff to come back looking like that and be illegal, but they've obviously found performance, and they're pushing the envelope. And when you do that, sometimes it pushes over the edge. I think that's the case with this one and the case with the other ones that we've had here recently with the rear window violations. It's kind of more of the same. So basically what he's saying is we're trying to get in front of this and we don't want them to have too much of a competitive edge. Okay. So you're basically trying to make everything be as uniformed as possible, which I know is not new to NASCAR. That's they've been that way for years, that they want everything to be as uniformed as possible. But A, Kyle Larson was in a wreck and the rear window was caved in. You're really going to call a penalty on that? I don't get that, because I, you know, it wasn't that way before the wreck. It was that way after the wreck. And guess where the damage was to the car? Right there by that window. So I guess they're arguing, well, you know, they didn't have the right braces and this was wrong and this was wrong. And, you know, Ganassi doesn't necessarily help themselves because they're saying we're not going to appeal it because we want to focus on the All-Star weekend and the Coke 600. I don't know if that's necessarily admitting guilt, but it doesn't help their cause. I just want to see good racing, you know? And I said earlier that I feel like we're seeing that. But with all these ticky-tack rules that NASCAR wants to put in and changing everything on the fly like they always do, it just takes away from it. And I think that could be why they're in the situation that they're in, of people not being as interested in the sport as they used to be, because they're tired of the sanctioning body changing things week in and week out. If there's a safety concern, if there's a true competitive advantage that by far outweighs everybody else, okay, do something about it. But the guy was in a wreck and the rear window caved in, and you're going to hit him with a penalty, which includes a loss of a playoff point and loss of driver points and all that stuff. Fine to the crew chief. The car chief is suspended. I mean, it just seems like it just goes way too far sometimes. And I don't get it. I've never understood it. I get it. Rules are rules, but some rules are just stupid. Something that they need to look at. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All-Star Weekend, of course, this weekend. The Open Saturday night. The All-Star Race Saturday night as well. And I know this podcast will air throughout the weekend and might air after the All-Star Race, but for podcast purposes and on thegamenashville.com, we will talk about it a little bit coming up and what they're gonna be doing. So a lot of changes this year, most notably with the package, the rules package, I should say. And what they're going to do is they're going to run restrictor plates at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, which I think is going to be cool. I'm excited to see that. They have the 6-inch high spoiler, 2 12-inch ears, and a 2014 style splitter and aero ducts. So the cars are going to be different. I think it's good to test that during the All-Star weekend, see what happens with it. I know they've done this a little bit with the Xfinity Series. And so I think it's going to add a different element, different strategy to the racing that they can test for future races. So the format, four stages. Stage one ends on lap 30. Stage two will end on lap 50. Stage three on lap 70. And then the fourth and final stage will end on lap 80. Overtime will be in effect for all stages. There's no field inversion. There's no required pit stop, which I kind of miss that. I like the pit stop. You know, I thought that added strategy. I think you'll see teams pit because they're going to have to take tires and fuel. But an Olin green flag laps will count for the final stage. Of course, you have your general rules. The winners of stages 1, 2, and 3 of the Monster Energy Open will advance. And then there is also the fan vote that you heard Matt DiBenedetto talk about. So it's interesting. I think it'll be fun. I like the rules package. I like that they're adding some different things to it, and we will see how it all shakes out Saturday night. That is going to do it for the debut edition for Chasing Checkers. I am Chase McCabe. Again, every Friday afternoon, this thing will drop in the GameNashville.com audio on-demand section, and you can hear it throughout the weekend on Saturday and Sunday as well. I'm Chase McCabe. Follow me on Twitter at ChaseOnGame, and thanks for listening to Chasing Checkers. More next week on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Nick Kale. It feels like it's part of the plan to set up something bigger.
Braden Gall.
People everywhere in the country are interested.
Derek Mason.
You knew he was good. I knew he was good.
Right. Morning Drive.
He's a good player, but I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback.
Weekdays at 6 a.m. on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.